As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command.
Good morning, everybody. Really good to see you this morning. As Dave said, my name's Johnny. I'm one of the pastors here. And I wonder if on this Remembrance Sunday, we can take a few moments to consider some words from the lips of Jesus Christ. They're famous words. They're words that we've just read from John chapter 15, verse 13. Jesus Christ said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Jesus Christ said many challenging things. He said, "Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you." But this morning, as we remember the men and women who laid down their lives in two world wars, these words from Jesus Christ offer comfort. They resonate with what we're remembering this morning. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Lieutenant Colonel William Dobby was the staff officer on duty on 11th of November 1918. He was the one who signed the order to all troops on the Western Front to cease hostilities. The message was sent to the armies, to the RAF, to the cavalry, and to other units. And this is what the message said: "Hostilities will cease at 1100 today, November 11th. Troops will stand fast at the line reached at that hour. Defensive precautions will be maintained. Further instructions to follow." Signed, WGS Dobby, Lieutenant Colonel. During the First World War, between 800,000 and 900,000 British men and women laid down their lives. It's not for nothing that we refer to the First World War as the Great War. There are over 10,000 what are known as civil parishes in England. And according to research, there are only 53 civil parishes from which all serving personnel returns. There are only 53 towns or villages where all members of the armed forces survived the war. 2016 also marks 100 years since the Battle of the Somme, fought in northern France. For 5 months, the British Army fought the Germans on a 15-mile front. And on just the first day, as soldiers advanced, 19,240 men lost their lives. It was the bloodiest day in the history of the British Army. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And of the 6 million British people who fought in the First World War, thousands of soldiers also suffered shell shock, returning from the battlefields and trenches, reeling from the sheer horror of the conflict. Thousands of soldiers were also wounded. New weapons, such as the machine gun, caused unprecedented damage to soldiers' bodies. Many had to have limbs amputated. And so there is nothing romantic about war. And there is nothing romantic about the memory of war. War can be bloody and brutal, and it can be very barbaric. This morning, not only do we remember those who laid down their lives in two world wars, but we remember those who continue to bear the physical and emotional scars. Following the so-called Great War, war has still been a constant. The First World War was not the war to end all wars. Since 1945 alone, British forces have engaged in 20 major conflicts. So far in the 21st century, there hasn't been a year in which the British Army hasn't lost a soldier in battle. The UK's military role in Iraq and Afghanistan, spanning two decades, had a very heavy human toll. Members of the Army, RAF, Royal Marines, and Special Forces have lost their lives. The number of deaths stands at more than 600 servicemen and servicewomen. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And as we remember those who have laid down their lives, these words from Jesus Christ are a comfort. But these words from Jesus Christ are also confrontational. These words, in their original context, introduce us to a character, to the God of the Bible, to the true and living God. These words from Jesus Christ challenge us to see who he really is and what he's really done. These words are here to convince us that the God of the Bible loves people like us. He loves me, and he loves you. The writer of this portion of the Bible, John the disciple, as Dave mentions, tells us elsewhere that Jesus Christ is the one who created all things. John tells us elsewhere that Jesus Christ is the one who shines in the darkness. John tells us elsewhere that Jesus Christ is God himself become flesh. And John records in chapter 15 that it was Jesus Christ who said these words the night before he died. On the eve of his crucifixion, Jesus Christ was alone with his 12 disciples, and he said to them, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." You see, the death of Jesus Christ wasn't an accident. It wasn't a mistake. It was a mission. And Jesus himself was very clear about that. In chapter 10 of John's Gospel, we read that Jesus said, "I laid down my life. I laid down my life." Jesus said it twice. And he said, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again." On that occasion, Jesus was referring to his crucifixion and to his resurrection. But the point is, Jesus Christ laid down his life. He willingly and voluntarily went to his death, all for the sake of other people. You see, the cross of Christ is a demonstration and a display of his great love, his selfless and sacrificial love, the greatest love of all. John chapter 15, verse 13. "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Jesus Christ selflessly and sacrificially gave his life for others. And if you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ as your friend, he died for you. He died in your place. He died so that you could be forgiven. He died to carry the judgment of God against your sin and against mine. He died so that you and I could have peace with God. He laid down his life for you. The Victoria Cross is the highest award in the UK honours system. It's awarded to members of the British Armed Forces for courage in the face of an enemy, for willingness to confront agony, pain, danger, uncertainty, and intimidation. Since the end of the Second World War, I think only 11 of these medals have been awarded. Lance Corporal James Ashworth won the Victoria Cross in 2013. He was in Afghanistan the year before, and enemy insurgents had his section pinned down. The gun battle had reached a stalemate, and so Lance Corporal James Ashworth volunteered to move along a low wall until he could post a grenade into an enemy bunker. And so, under heavy fire, he crawled on his belt buckle, bullets peppering the ground just inches around him. His friends called for him to get out of there, but he continued to move along the low wall. He was able to release the grenade, but at the same time he was struck by a single gunshot that knocked him to the ground, and he died from his wounds. His commanding officer later said he fought for his friends, and his friends can say that because Lance Corporal James Ashworth died, they now live. And the Bible says Jesus Christ also fought for his friends. The crucifixion was bloody and it was brutal and it was very barbaric. But his friends can say, because Jesus Christ died, we live. Not just now, but for eternity. Because he died on the cross for our sins, we have been forgiven. And we have peace with God. Hostilities have ceased. And the peace that he won will last forever. Do you know that Jesus Christ never promised to bring peace on earth in this world? In fact, Jesus Christ said, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places." Jesus Christ knew that human evil and personal sin would be an ever-present reality in this world. But Jesus Christ also promised to bring an end to the hostility of God, the just hostility of God towards people like us, for the way we've ignored and rejected him. And as Jesus Christ hung on the cross, having been flogged and mocked, he carried in his body the punishment that men and women like us deserve. Or in the words of one Christian hymn writer, "My Lord, what love is this that pays so dearly that I, the guilty one, may go free? Amazing love, oh what sacrifice! The Son of God given for me. My debt he pays, my death he dies, so that I might live. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." But perhaps you're here this morning and you're not a friend of Jesus Christ. In fact, you hear the words sin and guilt and debt, and you think to yourself, "That's not me. I'm not a sinner, and I don't need a savior. And I certainly don't deserve to be judged or punished by God. Doesn't he know, after all, I'm a moral, upright, respectable person?" It's easy for people like us to believe that we're good enough for God. We believe that our credentials will meet his criteria. But Jesus Christ says, most of you don't even know God's standards, let alone keep his standards. Do you love your enemies? Do you bless those who curse you? Do you do good to those who hate you? Because according to Jesus Christ, they're some of God's standards. Jesus Christ says the second most important commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Do you and I love our neighbors as ourselves, if we're honest? Jesus Christ says the most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. If you and I are honest, do we love God like that? But they're God's standards. And the truth is, we rarely refer to God's standards, let alone keep his standards. But Jesus Christ, he did know God's standards, and he did keep God's standards. Jesus Christ loved his enemies, those who ignored and rejected him. Jesus Christ blessed those who cursed him. He prayed for the people who were crucifying him. Jesus Christ did those who hated. Jesus Christ did good to those who hated him. At the cross, he bore the judgment and the punishment that people like us deserve. And at the cross, Jesus Christ stretches out both his hands and offers us the forgiveness and friendship that we don't deserve. The forgiveness and friendship that will last forever. The sinless and selfless Jesus Christ laid down his life for men and women. Military men and women, civilian men and women, for people like me and for people like you. John chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So let me finish by asking just one question. Are you friends with Jesus Christ? Are you friends with Jesus Christ, the one who has the authority to lay down his life, and the one who has the authority to take his life up again? You see, it's the risen Jesus Christ that reaches out to each one of us this morning, whoever we are, wherever we're from, whatever we've done, however bruised or broken we are, or however bad we are. He wants us to be his friend. Jesus Christ loves you, and he loves you with a love that is greater than you can ever understand. He wants you to come to him, to confess your sins, and to call on him as your Savior. And the moment we've done that, or the moment we do that, hostilities with God cease, and we have peace with him now and for eternity. Let's take a moment's quiet. Then we'll sing. When the musicians start, when the music starts, we're going to stand and sing Amazing Love. So the music starts, stand and sing with me.